This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol. Well, it's mid-June, and despite not having a complete budget proposal from the administration, House appropriators began marking up the fiscal year 26 appropriation bills, albeit at top-line numbers that we crafted, roughly reflective of the total amount proposed in the president's skinny budget that was sent our way a few weeks ago. Let me say at the outset that what we're doing in appropriations is an important start to the process, and I congratulate our committee for moving bills despite a lack of important information from the White House. But, and there's always a caveat, the bills we're moving out of committee will not become the law of the land. Some might even struggle to make it across the floor of the House. It's just a fact, but it is a start. Our chairman, Tom Cole, is a veteran appropriator. He understands how critical it is to get this process underway. Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power of the purse. That power requires that we pass budgets and move annual appropriation bills that reflect current priorities for our nation at rational levels of funding. But Chairman Cole is operating at a severe disadvantage. He never got a top-line level from the administration derived from a budget resolution. And worse, the process held hostage by the reconciliation bill, you know, the big, beautiful bill that is now held up in the Senate, where the upper chamber will take its sweet and easy putting its fingerprints on the measure. Chairman Cole is doing his best to deliver for the nation, and our committee is trudging ahead. I hope the effort is not futile. Last year, we ended up funding the discretionary budget of the U.S. government on a continuing resolution. That's a CR for short. CRs are bad. Not quite as bad as a government shutdown, but believe me, funding the discretionary budget on priorities and at levels from 2 years ago represents a failure on the part of Congress, not to mention downright dangerous where national security is concerned. I don't like CRs. Never have. In divided government, it's been about the only real option to keep the government afloat. I had hoped that this year, with the GOP holding the majorities in both the House and Senate, and with President Trump in the White House, we'd get a full-year funding bill on time and based on this year's urgent needs and resourced to meet them. I suppose it's still possible to get there, but odds makers are bearish on the prospects, and I share those sentiments. So, back to this week's effort. The Appropriation Committee passed bills funding defense and the military constructions and veterans programs. We started to mark up the ag bill and got about halfway through the amendments before we suspended action on it. We had planned to move Homeland Security, but time ran out, and the bill will have to come later. The votes were largely along party lines, as they usually are. The next step for those two that did clear committee will be on the floor of the House, and with a three-seat majority, and predicting that few, if any, Dems will support them, it'll be on the GOP alone to pass them. And our batting average on funding bills is about as good as the lineup of Democrats this week when they lost to the Republicans 13-2 in the congressional baseball game. It is true that the nation is $36-plus trillion in debt. It is true that the net interest on this debt will approach $1 trillion this year. And it is true that our country's credit rating was recently downgraded by a third rating service. Some would say we have a revenue problem. Others would say we have a spending problem. What we actually have is a pay-for problem. You want something? Pay for it. The size of our deficit is a result of Congress committing to a lot of things that we just simply don't pay for. What is not completely clear to the general public is just how much of our spending is on autopilot. The promises we've made to our people embedded in our social safety net programs, that's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, continue to escalate as more and more people age into these programs. While we can cut discretionary spending in some areas, and believe me, we should, you cannot make meaningful progress on reducing the debt obligations of this nation on discretionary spending alone. It's a math issue. So for now, the House awaits the final action by the Senate on the reconciliation bill we sent them 3 weeks ago. I doubt we see a changed product by the end of this month, and frankly, depending on the changes they make, there could be serious problems when when it comes back to the House. Remember, the vote to pass it out of the House, 215 to 214. And even with a couple of members missing the vote, a three-vote Republican advantage is likely not to survive major changes to SALT, clean energy credits, and additional cuts to Medicaid. On the SALT deduction alone, I know my colleagues from New York pretty well. They're dug in. So to my Senate friends, don't test them. In other business, the House passed a $9.4 billion recessions package on Thursday, a package I voted for, though reluctantly. It cut a number of State Department programs, along with NPR and PBS. It's certain to generate some conversation, but no matter how you feel, federal spending has to be carefully scrutinized. The danger here is ceding too much authority to the executive branch. The first rescissions package will most surely be followed by more. I predict they will eventually try to cut programs that enjoy wide bipartisan support. The House broke late Thursday for Father's Day, followed by a week-long district work period. I'll be active in Arkansas's 3rd District next week before returning on June 23rd for another week of appropriation markups. Finally, let me say how proud I am of the Arkansas Razorback baseball program. They're in the College World Series with LSU as the first-round opponent on Saturday evening in Omaha. The way they ran the table in regionals and super regionals gives me the feeling that this may indeed be the year. So go Hogs. As always, I invite your views. This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol.